Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the second perek, chapter 2 of the book of Amos. And it is a short perek following directly on from the first perek. The idea is that he's turning to all the nations around. Amos is the representative of God and is talking about how they've all sinned. All the nations around have sinned terribly. Hashem has forgiven them on three accounts and the fourth one he's not going to forgive anymore. So we've actually passed five nations, which he's addressed up till now. He's addressed Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Edom, and Ammon in the first parak, and now he turns to three other nations. And they are, in fact, Moab, Yehuda, and then Yisrael. So the southern kingdom and then the northern kingdom of Israel. It comes close to home now. The first little section is focusing on Moab. It's Aleph to Gimel, where it's the three sins which Moab is not going to be, Moab was let go on, but not the fourth one. Al Sorfoi Atzmois Melech Edom Lasid. What was this? The fourth sin is that he burnt the bones of the king of Edom, turned them into lime, and because of that, I'm going to send my destruction against Moab, and there's going to be the war horns are going to blow against him, and I'm going to destroy all leadership in his midst. That's section one. Section two is it now turns to the southern kingdom. These are Jews. Al Shlosha Pishei Yehuda Al Arba Avala Shivenu. They've sinned in the southern kingdom three times, and the fourth time I'm not going to do that. And what is the fourth one? Al Mo'asam Es Taras Hashem V'chukov Lo Yishamaru. They despised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they despised his laws, and therefore V'shilachti Eish B'Yehuda V'achlo Armanos Yerushalayim. I'm going to send fire against Jerusalem. And then finally, the last and major section of this parak moves from Pasuk Vav till the very end, and that is Al Shlosha Pishei Yisrael Val Arba'a Vala Shivenu. There are three sins in the northern kingdom of Israel, and on the fourth one, and I will not relinquish it, and that is Al Mechram Kesef Tzadik Ve'evyon Ba'avur Na'alayim. That they sold for silver a tzaddik, and to a poor person, and a poor person for the sake of shoes. And there's a beautiful, powerful descriptions over here of these of oppression which goes in society. Hashavim al afar aretz berosh dalim v'derech anovim yatu v'ish v'aviv yelechol anara leman chalel es shem kodshi. There's descriptions of moral perverseness in society, moral injustice in society, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you into this land. I destroyed these nations in front of you. I expected you to do so well. And just listen to this beautiful description. So sad. I made your children into prophets, and your young into people who are nazirim, who stay away from indulgence. Ha'af en zois beis Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, no Hashem, have there ever been anything like this? V'tashku es ha'nazirim yayin, v'al ha'navim tzivisem le'mor lo'y t'inavu. But you fed the nazirim, you fed them wine, and you told the prophets, we don't want to hear from you. You rejected the kind of culture I wanted, and therefore Hashem says, I'm sorry. Hineni, I'm going I'll make you slow like a wagon, which is cut full of cut grain, and you're going to lose all happiness. All strength will flee, but tofes hakeshef lo yamod, v'kal b'raglov lo yamalet. Even the most diligent soldiers will not escape. V'amitzli b'vegivurim arom yonus b'yom ahunu mashem. Everyone is going to flee when I bring my destruction upon you too. This is the end of the parak. Let's focus on a few distinct aspects of this. Number one is just to remember that, as Abarbanel points out, and Radaka as well points out, that this whole notion of 3 versus 4, all these nations which sin, 3 versus 4, is that the societies around them, and including the Jews, both in the north and the south, are completely involved in the three cardinal sins, which is Shvichas Damim, Gilui Arayos, and Avodah Zarah, which is murder, incest, and polytheism. And the fourth one is what sort of puts us over the edge, and all these nations deserve punishment. It's also important to consider the general theme, the overarching theme, which is if the nations around you deserve destruction because of their actions, then certainly you are no better at this point in time. And that seems to be the general theme, which is why we're lumped into the same category. One of the interesting things you'll notice that when focusing on Moab, it seems that Moab is punished for a strange reason. The fourth, and perhaps the camel, the straw that broke the camel's back in this case, is the fact that he killed this king of Edom and turned his bones into lime. Like, what's that got to do with Israel? How is that considered a theological crime against Israel, like all the other ones seem to have been? Rashi says it's because it's so disgusting, it's such a heinous crime, it's such a deplorable action that this is seen as morally perverse and he's going to be punished for it. The Abba Ben El says no. If you look historically back in the book of Melachim, you'll notice that there's a time when Edom is actually an ally to the nation of Israel, and both Israel and Yehuda and Edom go out to fight Ammon and Moab, and it is at that point in time where in response Moab burns alive, or shechts alive, in one way of reading the Pasuk, the son, the crown prince of Edom, in a retaliation, in vengeance for the fact that Edom is on the side of Israel. And we see hear from the Pasukim in Melachim there, that in fact this is going to be the hairline fracture, which is going to be what expands into the vast abyss between Israel and Edom, is because of this moment when his own son is killed. So who's responsible for that? That's Moab. Moab for killing the son is ultimately which brought about great grief for Israel later on. When we come to the sins of Israel, it's interesting that the sin that's described is the fourth sin, which puts everything over the precipice, is the michrom ba'kesef tzadik ve'evyon ba'avur na'alayim, selling for silver a righteous one. What is that referring to? What's going on over here? So it is important, as Abba Brunel points out, to notice and to be aware of the fact that Christian theology uses this pasuk as a description of the fact that the Jews sold the savior of the Christians and ultimately betrayed him to the Romans and letting him be killed. And that's why for centuries and for millennia, Jews have died around the time of Easter, because based on these and other libels which have been read into the Torah, into the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, Jews have been killed in the streets relentlessly without any sense of protection because of misinterpretations of text, such as this one. Now, Baminel points out that there is no way this is referring to the savior of the Christians. For number one, there was no description in that story about being sold for shoes. It's got nothing to do with the story. Number two, over here we seem to see two descriptions of Israel, is Yehuda in the south and Israel in the north. That only exists at the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. The savior of the Christians was only later on. Their Messiah was in the second Beis HaMikdash. It's really not referring to anything to do with that whatsoever. So what is going on? Yehuda Barbanel himself suggests that this is a general description of bribery and corruption society. We're describing over here how people, when they don't want to hear their leaders, what they do is they simply bribe them away, or they betray them in a way that they don't need to deal with the justice that they represent. And what is interesting over here is the fact that this is, of course, part of the Haftorah for Parshas Vayeshev. This is in the Ashkenazic tradition. Parshas Vayeshev reads Amos Perek Beis to Gimel, halfway through each of them. And this relates to very specifically what the Midrash describes is the sin of the Mechiras Yosef. What's the sale that's being referred to over here? Is the sale of Yosef. Famously, the Midrash, which is used in different permutations on both Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, it appears in many Midrashim, one is in Mishle, is that the Midrash describes how the Caesar summons the leaders of the Jewish community, and the heads were Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol and Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel the Nasi, and he had a pile of shoes in his court, and he said, what's the halacha if a Jew kidnaps another Jew and sells him? And the response is, of course, it's a death penalty, it's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. And they said, well, you sold your brothers, Yosef, the 10 brothers sold their brother Yosef, was that... judgment or that justice meted out? And they responded, well, actually not really. So he says, well, I'll take historical justice and I'm going to take the 10 of you. And this becomes the story of the 10 martyrs. Now, it obviously didn't happen at one moment in history. The people lived at different times. But the story goes on and describes how Shmuel Kohen Gadol went up and he went into a metaphysical state and he saw that this was a decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he and Rabbi Shimon were returned to the palace and killed in the most horrific way, and each of the 10 martyrs were killed. What's the most puzzling thing is that why is this being quoted? How can this really be something which is truly just? Think about this for a second. Here we're saying that the sin which tips the scales of the fourth sin, which tips the scales for Israel, is Michram Bakesef Tzadik. And this is the sin which is going to lead to the 10 martyrs, 10 the greatest of all time, being killed. Like, why? That happened then. What's that got to do with us? And the answer is, well, maybe it didn't just happen then. Maybe we're still selling our brothers down the river. Maybe the same seed, maybe the same problem which existed then, which led to brothers betraying each other, which led to not being able to trust other Jews enough to sell themselves, to sell their own brothers, their own flesh and blood down the river, still exists. Maybe it hadn't been resolved. Maybe the society in which the 10 martyrs were living was one which was full of that, and that sectarianism, certainly at that time, was a tremendous, tremendous challenge, as it is today. As it is today. In America today, there were more evangelical Christians who voted for the movement of the embassy, of the American embassy to Jerusalem, than there were Jews who voted for it, in terms of percentages, ratios of the amount of each of these populations. Of course, it's a complicated decision. There's many security issues. But let's understand something. We have no ability to agree on anything in the diaspora today. We have no sense of who we are, what we are, our mission, our direction. We are in a similar plight, unfortunately, to Yosef as well. Brothers selling brothers. This is perhaps why it is mentioned both in the Haftarah and as a continuation of this. In Metzah Hashem, we should not live through this. We should be able to find the unity, the accord which can be given to brothers, to siblings, and to a nation. In the meantime, a wonderful, meaningful day.